Today on Real Radio.
Have you ever looked at somebody in a coma? Have you ever been to their bed? They look normal. Can you hear me? Squeeze my finger. They look normal. They look like they should get up. Jesus is saying, can you hear me? If you can hear me, follow me. A lot of people are listening, but very few people are hearing.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Gospel of Luke. In fact, we're hearing a series within a series called How Jesus Builds a Church, based on the last 11 verses of Luke chapter 14. How does Jesus build his church? Well, it has little resemblance to the way people think you need to build a church today. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When Jesus says, if you're going to be a disciple, you've got to be willing to leave all to come and follow me. For those of you who are disgruntled in your marriages, it doesn't mean, look, I got to be a disciple and I have to leave. What did it say? House, children, wife, and husband. That's not what it means, you crazy person, you. That's not what it means. He's saying, listen, if I bid you to go to Detroit, go to Detroit. If I bid you to go to Bangkok, go to Bangkok. He says, if I tell you to go to Albertsons and share the good news, a disciple says, yes, Lord. Listen, I mean, we've all gone through the no Lord stuff. And I think I'm going to learn, but I don't, because I'm sure tomorrow he'll say, do this. And I'm going to say, no, Lord. And then it may take a minute. It could take an hour. It could take a day. He always gets his way. And you wind up caving in because Father knows best in everything. Logic and reason. Secondly, under this point, Jesus tells us the truth. That's how he builds his church. He does this, and the truth is that we are to be yielding and surrendered. And that's the key to our spiritual growth, to be yielding and surrendered. You guys, it's the opposite of the way the world works. The world says, grab all the gusto you can. The world says, look out for number one. The world says, climb that ladder and kick everybody off on the way up. That's how the world works. In fact, Jesus put it this way. If you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, that is, you give it to him, he says, you'll find it. Happy is the person who discovers that truth, huh? You think, I think, controlling everything is the way it ought to be? Dude, you're just getting an ulcer. You're going to die young. But it's hard to believe. It takes a lot of faith to believe that Jesus says, let it go. Give it to me. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast, the word in Greek is heave, not vomit, but throw it. Throw all of your cares upon him. Because he cares for you. I like to put it this way. Heave all of your concerns upon him because he carries it for you. And when you're not looking, he'll throw it away. Because you and I worry 99% of the time over stuff that has no bearing on our lives. He says right there in verse 32, or else while the other is still a great way off, the other army of 20,000 is a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for conditions of peace. Jesus is saying, listen, count the cost. And if you don't think that you can, listen, if you don't think that you can win this thing, then you ask for conditions of peace. Hey, that's a smart thing to do in war. It's a smart thing to do in politics. It's a smart thing to do in business. And it's a great thing to do. It's an essential thing to do in your relationship with God. That is this. Church, listen carefully. If I'm going to be a disciple, one of the biggest things that keeps you and I from following Jesus is an overriding sense of failure. What if I fail at it? Jesus is saying to us this, forget about that. Remove that from the table. It's all of him. He does it. You guys, let me be the first to tell you, we do not achieve whatever we do achieve for the kingdom of God by any skills or talents of our own. God will not share his glory with anybody else. How do things get done in the kingdom of God? Woe unto the man who, I can do it. Let me do it. I can do it. We don't want that kind of people around. Why? Because if you're doing it, then you're the one doing it. And that's not going to work. But for the rest of us who come to God and say, God, I'm going to send a delegation, conditions of peace. What is it, Jack? I can't do this. I can't be a pastor. I can't love people like you want me to love them. I can't do this stuff. And then you might say, well, gosh, Jack, that's me. I want to help in the children's ministry, but I'm afraid of failing. You can't do it. I can't do it, but God does it through us. That's the amazing trick, blessing, gift of Christianity. Once you're saved, God says, let's go. Now, look, if you're on the cross, or if somebody's got a sword to your neck and they're going to cut your head off, accept Jesus. Now, you'll never have a chance to become a disciple. But if you and I are living for him right now and able, maybe he gives us the next 10 years or the next 10 weeks, and we have the chance to go and affect the world for Christ, then listen, get up and go follow him. Trust him completely, because you know what? Through him, you can overcome anything. And the thing is this, that when you follow him, God will open up doors that at the end of the day, your mouth will be hanging open. Because you know what? God is not into spectator Christianity. At the end of the day, your job will be hanging open saying, God, this has been an awesome day. Is your Christianity boring? You're doing it wrong. You follow him, and I'll tell you, your heart will spin. I don't get people. If you know me, if you know my family, some of you, we've played together, gone to Disneyland together. It is true I'm a coward of rides. I don't like rides. That's why God made airplanes. If God put wings on an airplane, make perfect sense to me, but you are not going to strap me on a roller coaster. That's tempting the Lord thy God, in my opinion. I don't need that kind of rush. Oh, come on, man, it's really cool. Your stomach's like this and your hair. Oh, come on, let's do it. I don't need it. I'm a Christian. What do you mean by that? Dude, follow me. Let's walk with Jesus. And your stomach's going to go like this. And your hair is going to go like this. Why? Because you know what? He's anything but boring. Too many people are doing their Christianese thing, talking Christianese, and all the little stuff. They got the little deal, but there's no one's being affected in the world that they live in. And Jesus says to the vast majority in the crowd, he says, if you come, count the cost, but let's go. We've got things to do. It's very, very powerful. Point number four, and it's this, we'll end on point four. It's verses 33 to 35, how Jesus Christ builds a church. It's this, by requiring effectiveness. What will be the evidence that I'm a true disciple, follower, mimicker of the Lord Jesus? Wow. One of the things is what's called the fruit of the Spirit. In your Bibles, in Galatians 5:22, the word Spirit is capital S. Whenever you come to the capital S on Spirit in your Bible, it is the Holy Spirit. Okay? Lowercase s means it's a human spirit or a demonic spirit or an angel spirit, anything but God. Capital S, it comes out of the Greek, it's deity, it's Christ, it's God. All right? For the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Stop right there. Who in this world would not want to have in their life an awesome, powerful, heavenly-given love? Who would not want that? I want that. And then joy. You know what's so cool about joy? Joy flies above the circumstances. Another word for circumstance is happenstance. You ever heard that old English word? What's happening? Hey, what's happening? That means what's going on here and now? Why is that important? Because I'm affected by what's happening here and now. A lot of people live their lives like that. They're affected by the immediate. They don't have any joy because their joy, it's not over the situations. You guys, 6 weeks ago, we had a high schooler accept the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, so what? A lot of high schoolers accept the Lord Jesus in our high school ministry. Yeah, praise the Lord for that, huh? But this one's special. You mean he's special? What makes him special? This is what makes him special. 6 weeks ago, he accepts the Lord Jesus Christ. And this last week, he was horrifically killed on the freeway when a car struck his vehicle. He was outside of his broken down vehicle. A car struck him and was killed terribly. Now listen, you say, what's so special? I tell you what's special. This kid came to faith in Jesus Christ, and 6 weeks later, he went home to see his Jesus. And I got to tell you something. The awesome thing about that is the fact that he got his Bible, he's reading his Bible, and though he didn't have much time, his life in the service this week to come will make an effect. He didn't have much time to follow Jesus, but there'll be a service held, and his life affected others. You have to ask yourself as a Christian, do I have that kind of joy, that kind of love in my life, that kind of peace? This word peace in Galatians 5:22 is a peace like we would sing in a song that still waters, you know, run deep. It's a peace that runs very deep. A peace that passes human understanding is what the word means. Long-suffering, that's the word being able to put up with. I need that. I'm not all that good with that. I see things going on. I don't like it. I go crazy. Against such, the Bible says, there's no law. It says, no what? There's no law. Ten Commandments? You don't need them. If you're walking under the power of the Holy Spirit, these things of the Spirit will be lived out in your life. You don't have to worry about the Ten Commandments. By the way, everybody wants to get rid of the Ten Commandments. Why? Because they keep looking at everybody. The Ten Commandments, they just... And it says, have no other God before me. I don't want that. I don't want that. Listen, when you love God and the Spirit of God is at work in your life, man, don't worry about the law. And then listen, required effectiveness is this: a changed life affects me personally. He says, so likewise, whoever of you who does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So it affects me personally. Jesus is not saying that you can't follow him. He's saying, if you're going to come and follow me, I need to be number one in your life. There's nothing wrong with that. He's God. He's earned it by coming to earth for us. Also this, corporately, verses 34 to 35, by requiring effectiveness, a changed life affects us corporately. Others are affected. Look at verse 34 and 35. He says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill or manure heap, but men throw it out. This is an amazing thing. You guys remember, do you remember what Luke's occupation was, the author of this? He's a doctor, medical doctor. This is kind of cool. Why? Because salt was not only used to season your food, it was not only used by the family or by the meat industry to pack it with salt to keep it from rotting, but as a physician, you use salt to sterilize your equipment and to impact salt in a wound to sterilize or to keep from infection the salt. Here's the amazing thing about sodium chloride. In and of itself, of its own nature, it never loses its strength. When Luke heard this, I mean, his yarmulke had to kind of go off. Whoa! Jesus just said that if salt loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing. That doesn't happen unless you mix with the salt something from the outside. You have to dilute salt. You have to ruin salt intentionally. Salt is salt for thousands of years. It doesn't change unless it's watered down, unless it's somehow diluted, unless foreign substances come in and begin to affect it. Jesus is saying, listen, salt does a job. But an interesting thing, interesting twist. He says, but if it loses its power, it's good for nothing. Listen, I can declare that I'm a Christian, and I can be a Christian. I can believe in Jesus and live my whole life being a spectator to the things of God. Will you go to heaven? Yes. But you know what? You missed out on an awful lot. And it's not worth it, you guys. Jesus is saying, come. Will you come? And be careful not to be deluded by the things of this world. You guys, we all struggle with that stuff to some degree or another. How many of you ever owned a new car? That's one of the biggest things. Raise your hand. You know you are an incredible majority for others in the world. You owned a new car. You ever smell the smell of a new car? I don't know why they don't make cologne out of that stuff. New car. What do you do when you get a new car? You park a mile out in the parking lot, away from the store, sideways, so nobody gets near it. Right? Last service, there was a guy here, I know him, he bought a car from Jerry Seinfeld, a Porsche or a Ferrari, I don't remember which one it was. And I got to sit in it, and I'm thinking to myself, because I'm not very bright, I'm thinking to myself, wow, I'm sitting, these pants sat in a Jerry Seinfeld car. I'll never change my pants again. What do you do with a car like that? Oh, we've all been like that. Look at my new car. And you don't pull up into the parking lot at Walmart and push carts out of the way with it. No, you're parked way out there. You parked by Nordstrom's and then walked to Walmart. But then after it gets its first scratch, what do you do? Oh, now the idle. I mean, it's not even an idle anymore. It's dented. It's no good. It's a broken idle. Who needs it? And then you get out of the way. You're pushing cars and you park, in that little narrow spot. Why? Because you know what? It loses its luster. Things of the world will always lose its luster. It will always lose its zing, you know? And the important thing about that is that when we consider the fact that we can be so easily polluted by things, now you see that my life can be distracted by someone in my life. You see, but shouldn't you love them? Of course I should love them. But it's a fine line from loving them rightly and making them an idol. When God says, you love me most of all and without challenge. Amen. And so we end here. His change, a changed life that you and I should have, affects the world that you and I live in completely. It affects the world that we live in. Jesus said something, this is amazing. Verse 35, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. 16 times that's spoken in the Bible, in the New Testament, 16 times. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's a tremendous invitation. Out of the 16 times used in the Bible, Jesus uses it 8 times. 7 of those times is when Jesus says it to the letters to the 7 churches in the book of Revelation. What's he saying? He's saying, listen, everybody, listen. He's saying, can you hear me? If you can hear me, then respond. Have you ever looked at somebody in a coma? Have you ever been to their bed? They look normal. Can you hear me? Squeeze my finger. They look normal. They look like they should get up. Jesus is saying, can you hear me? If you can hear me, follow me. A lot of people are listening, but very few people are hearing. And so he announces, if you have ears to hear, will you hear what I'm saying? A vast crowd of people, Jesus puts out the plea, and I wonder how many people said, I'm coming. And I want to leave you with this illustration about the invitation Jesus gives. Some years ago on one of our mission trips, we were in London, England with our mission teams, and Brian Broderson was pastoring there at Calvary Chapel in Westminster, England. And you guys know, many of you have been on trips with us. We're very committed to those things, very serious. And so with teams all ready to go, trained up, we hit the streets. And Brian comes during one of our outreaches and he says, hey, listen, we can get tickets tonight for Les Miserables right here in London. And I'm thinking, like, who? We're here for a missions outreach. And he says, yeah, let's take the entire team. And I had a hard time with that. I'm thinking, man, I mean, we've come here for his church to help him, but he's inviting the team to go to see Les Miserables. You guys all know what I'm talking about? The musical play? If you've never seen it, you got to see it. I'd never seen it before. Well, Brian won out, and we all went. The whole team went one night. We went to downtown London. Awesome. Limousines, all this stuff. Big deal. I mean, not our lip. We had our feet. There were limousines dropping people off. It was a big deal. We get in there, and the whole team, we're sitting there. And you guys, Les Miserables is French for the miserable or the wretched. The wretched, the miserable. Written by Victor Hugo, 1862, I think it was, something like that. The miserable, the wretched. By the way, when it came out in 1860, whatever, 45,000 people stood in line to get the transcripts, the writings, the book. Poor people banded their money together because it was a message of hope to them. They banded together, got their money, and they would read it. One person would read it in front of hundreds of old poor people, because they couldn't afford it on their own. It was a massive thing. Watch this. The play happened. The musical was going on. And if you know the story, it's amazing. Jean Valjean is plagued by the law. It's constantly pursuing him. Every time he wants to do something right, he fails at it. He wants to do good. He miserably makes a mistake. And the law is pounding him and convicting him. He goes to prison. He gets out. He winds up messing up again. He wants to do good. He fails every time. Does that sound familiar in your life and mine? And then he comes and he's liberated. He's set free by a Monsignor in the play, shows him grace, love, and mercy. He's set free. His life's completely changed. Great story of redemption. Les Miserables. My point is this. When Jesus said, "Be my disciple, come and follow me. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." He says, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And behold, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Remember that? That's a command. Now watch this. At the end of the move, at the end of the play, I was shocked. The theater went dark, then the lights came back up. And standing on the stage, joined arm in arm, was the cast of the production. And Jean Valjean was in the middle. And this is what he said. "To you, Les Miserables, if you can hear the message of this story, it's the Christ that can set you free. Join us as we tell the world." Victor Hugo had instructed that when it's performed, that should be played. That should be the ending. And they did that in London. "Come and join us, you miserable, you wretched, you poor, you hurting. Come, and we'll tell the world." That's the life of a Christian who says, "Jesus, you've been so good to me, I can't take it anymore. I give you my life. I follow you."
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called How Jesus Builds a Church. It's actually a mini-series within our series through the Gospel of Luke, taken from chapter 14 and verses 25 through 35. We'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. For the next couple of broadcasts, we feature a special Thanksgiving weekend series. Now, recently on Veterans Day, we had a very special broadcast for that very special day. If you missed it, be sure and visit us at realradioactive.org. But here's Pastor Jack with a message in light of that. Pastor Jack?
Mike, on November 11th, which was Veterans Day, we made a special offer to all of our listeners, and we want to make sure that everyone has a chance to secure their own copy of this amazing DVD teaching that took place right here at Calvary Chapel. And I'm talking about, of course, the offer of General William Boykin's amazing message that he gave here at Calvary, which dramatically affected my life personally. And I think it's a message for everyone, not just for those who are in armed services today defending our faith, our families, and our freedom, but this message is strategic, in my opinion, for the Christian body today. General Boykin is a legend in our modern-day forces. He was one of the founding fathers of the U.S. Army's Delta Force team. He was a commander of the Special Forces for the U.S. Army, as well commander of all Green Beret operations. Over 30 years, serving the United States and the U.S. Army. General Boykin delivers a message that I believe every Christian has to hear. But I'm thinking specifically right now how powerful it would be if you could secure a copy of this for yourself and get it into the hands of someone that you know who may be out there or heading out there into harm's way, because it will embolden your faith. It will strengthen you. And if it does that to you, how much more for those who need strengthening at a time like this, who are going out to defend our faith, our family, and freedom. So you can get your own copy by going to realradioactive.org. That's one big word, realradioactive.org. Or you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. And listen, this is going to be sent to you for a gift of any amount. And we mean that sincerely. This message has got to get into your heart and into your walk. God bless you.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel,
Chino Hills, California.